You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Not really excited to be with you all here on this Tuesday, actually, because this is the day after the Pelicans drop probably their worst game of the season, a home game against the Orlando Magic, 115-99. And there's a lot to take away from this game, most of it bad, and I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to explain exactly what went wrong because this one's kind of obvious to me. This one, you know, I think I'm a pretty smart guy when it comes to basketball. I don't think I could be an NBA head coach. I don't even know if I could be an NBA assistant coach, to be honest. But I can see things when they're wrong and talk about them, and that's my role here as an analyst, so we're going to do that. And these things that went wrong in this game are pretty damn obvious. It's kind of as simple as that. And they're also some of the same issues that we've been seeing all season from this team. So we're going to look at it here now, you know, in the late edition, I guess we're going to call it, of Locked On Pelicans. You guys know I normally have this up by 6 a.m. for you all for your morning commutes whenever you want to listen to it. Don't tell me if you're listening to it in the shower naked. That's just weird. But this one I needed to wait to get some of the NBA player tracking data from, which wasn't available late last night, so I just decided to get some sleep and record when I found some time today, which I am doing right now, so this is going to come out hot off the presses after we're done. So we're going to dive into everything with this Orlando Magic loss, and then tomorrow's episode will preview the game against the Timberwolves and probably talk about a few other things going wrong with this team here. So if you follow me on Twitter, at Nola Jake, and you all should, you know I was furious with the team after this loss last night. Again, it was a final score of 115-99. And look, the Orlando Magic are a good team. They're 5-2 now. I believe they're at the top of the Eastern Conference or right up at the top of the Eastern Conference right now. They're tied for one with Boston and Detroit. So clearly, they're a good team and they're playing well this year. But the things that they do well, people think are unsustainable, and they're probably unsustainable to the extremes that the Magic have been doing it. But right now, this is a good three-point shooting team. We all knew this going into the game, that this is a good three-point shooting team. They had their bigs, Aaron Gordon and Nikola Vucevic, they had these two guys who are shooting above like 48%. I forget their exact numbers heading into the game, shooting an insanely high percentage from three. And not only that, but they are bombing it from three, and they're taking a high number of attempts from there. And so it should have been no surprise that this team was going to come out and launch. They took 34 threes last night. They made 16 of them. That is 47.1% of their threes. On the season, this team, I think, was hitting 43.5%. So not that much higher than the season average. So a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, they'll calm down, they'll regress to the mean. If your defense, and this certainly was the Pelicans' game plan, is based around hoping the Magic regress to the mean when it comes to three-point shooting, that is a stupid fucking defensive plan. It's as simple as that. And we can see it in the data. So yes, is where are the numbers here? Most Bates going to go 6 of 10 every night from deep, hitting 60%? No, obviously not. We know that. Is Aaron Gordon going to go 3 for 5 every night? No, we know that. But so far, through the six games going into last night, they kind of are doing that. So when maybe your game plan is to take away the paint, and while they are basically the number one three-point shooting team, we'll just call them that to make it easy, the Magic were also top 10 when it came to points in the paint. And I said on the podcast yesterday, this is exactly what they do. They bomb from three early on and then get you to overcommit on closeouts. And once you do that, they're going to put the ball on the ground and drive and get to the rim. Vucevic is very good at that. He's got a lot of athleticism. So does Aaron Gordon. So they're able to go out and do damage. By the way, Aaron Gordon only played 18 minutes because he got in foul trouble and still scored 17 points. Goes to show you how badly the Pelicans were playing defense on this guy. But they spread you out first, and then they slash and attack you with Jonathan Simmons and Evan Fournier, who also, by the way, went 4 of 7 from deep. It backs it up. So you can blame this on a number of things and just saying it's the Magic's hot shooting and most teams aren't going to make 16 of 34 threes and shoot 47.1% against you. But you know what? They're going to do that when you leave them wide open, which the Pelicans were doing. That's the issue here. You need to at least contest some of these shots. Evan Fournier on the night took 12 field goal attempts, seven of which were from three-point range, okay? On the night, let's have it here, nine of his 12 field goal attempts were uncontested, according to the NBA.com/stats tracking data. Now, I'm going to put these in a little bit of context for you. We're just going to roll through this podcast because I have a lot of thoughts. I don't trust a lot of the tracking data, neither should you, but certain things are good. Contested field goal makes an attempts and percentage isn't a good stat because that basically says is someone within 3 feet of the guy shooting. So every shot in the paint is likely going to be contested, whether or not there was someone actually contesting it or making that a harder shot. So I don't like those numbers necessarily. But the uncontested data is intriguing to look at because that means no one's around them. No one's within 3 feet. Truly an uncontested shot, I think it's safe to say, for probably 99% of the time. So I do trust those numbers. So Evan Fournier, 9 of his 12 attempts were uncontested. Let's look at Aaron Gordon here. And he shot 13 attempts on the night. 5 were from three-point range. Okay, so 13 and 5. Aaron Gordon, of those 13 attempts, was 10 of them were uncontested. He went 7 for 10 on uncontested shots. By the way, Evan Fournier was 5 of 9 on uncontested shots. 70% and 55.6%. Again, they might not be able to stay this hot all season, but if you're going to leave them wide open, they're sure as heck going to make their shots for the most part. Let's look at Vucevic. This is a guy who shot fewer threes than the other ones. He was 1 of 2 from 3. He took 17 shots. So he's not bombing from 3. He was basically working inside and trying to slash an attack, okay? 17 shots, 2 from deep. Only 8 of those 17 are uncontested. So at least you have people around him. So you can see the difference there. That's great. Minus the 20 points he put up. Not a good thing. Most Bates, this is the great one. 6 of 11 on the night. 6 of 10 from 3. So he had one layup in the fourth quarter, by the way, that he missed because it was too close for him because he was drilling from deep. 6 of 10 from 3, okay? 6 of 11 on the night. You guys already know what this is going to be. Are you excited for it? Because I'm excited to tell you where it is. Oh, uncontested field goal makes and attempts. He was 6 of 10. So the exact same all of his three-pointers that he took were uncontested, according to the player tracking data that we have. You can watch the videos of this. There's no surprise that this was the case. And the Pelicans let this team do it. They actually kind of played well offensively, I thought, for the most part, at times, before kind of just completely falling apart in the second half because they became so unraveled by the threes the Magic were hitting. But when you leave guys open who are shooting above 40% on the season, and yes, maybe they're not great three-point shooters. You can point to that stat all you want. And try and defend this is what people were doing to me on Twitter. You were trying to defend this plan of letting these guys shoot wide open threes, pointing to them as 30% career three-point shooters, 32%. If that's your plan, it didn't work, so don't defend it to me. Well, they're 30% three-point shooters. I don't give a shit when they're making their shots. It's as simple as that. Defend the guys that are shooting. Maybe you don't guard Mo Spates on the first 2 3-pointer attempts he shoots, but we know this guy can shoot threes. This is no surprise in his career. He's a 35% three-point shooter. Maybe after the first two, though, you don't go. You go out and contest him and don't leave him open. It's very realistic and I think not a horrible game plan for the team here. So before moving on to the other bad things, don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com. We've got the second set of our team here making their debuts on the site this week. We got a great post up there right now from Louis Corzo, who's one of the moderators, I guess, runs it, the NBA Pelicans Reddit page. Which is great to go over and chat with other Pelicans fans on. He's throwing a fictional party, inviting some of the Pelicans players over. It is Halloween today, after all. Find out who they went dressed as when it comes to classical monsters over at LockedOnPelicans.com. So before switching gears, let's keep looking at the defense here. So on the night, as I pull up the advanced stats so we can get I tweeted it out last night, I think it was 110.7. Yes, so the defensive rating for the Pelicans was 110.7. That would, going into last night's game, tie them for 29th worst. Tied for second worst in the league. They couldn't do anything they wanted to. And basically, this defense comes down to effort and game plan. After the game, Alvin Gentry just straight up said, our defense sucked. We sucked. and kind of threw, I don't want to say he threw his players under the bus, because frankly, just by watching the game, you saw the lack of effort. You saw DeMarcus Cousins, after not getting some of the foul calls, and Cousins only went to the line one time on offense, which is not the norm for him, kind of got in his own head, and he gave you one of those boogie games where he just doesn't really care. And we've seen this before. It's no surprise these games are going to happen. It's part of having him. But after getting so keyed up in the win over the Cavs, you know, it was a bit surprising to see him kind of revert to this and kind of like just look slunk over in different things and just didn't like he didn't want to be here whatsoever. And after the game, was not made available to the media. So after the game, Alvin Gentry said, when asked about Cousins and efforts, was, I don't know, you'll have to ask him, in a bit of a way throwing the player under the bus. DeMarcus Cousins was not available to the media last night. You got to take some ownership over your poor performance, your poor effort. That's part of the job here. On the flip side of that, I do want to commend Jrue Holiday, because we'll talk about it in a minute, what went wrong on offense and why the team only posted a 95.3 offensive rating. But the big one's turnovers. Jrue Holiday owned up to this last night. Raised his hand with the media in the locker room after the game and just said, I had six turnovers. It's kind of on me here, and taking a large, you know, part of the responsibility for it. He owned up to it. Good for Jrue Holiday. I like when people come out and go, I sucked. We were bad. We will fix this and we will be better and it won't happen again. That's what you want to hear out of people. Jrue Holiday kind of did that, whereas DeMarcus Cousins, with his own six turnovers to go with seven assists, 12 rebounds, and 12 points. So, like, not a horrible, horrible stat line from him. Didn't come talk to the media. Originally, there was going to be practice today, and then an email late last night came with a correction saying there was going to be no practice and no media availability. I don't know if they have an off day or if it's no and there's no media availability, or they are practicing and there is. Unsure of that, but I'm kind of intrigued by it. But Gentry basically called out his team, and as he should have. But at a certain point, when do you look in the mirror if you're Alvin Gentry and go to the media, this one's on me? You can say, well, the players didn't come out and play and they had no effort. But whose job is to get them to give effort? The head coach. Yes, he can't make them play and he can't make them do things properly and can't stop them necessarily from doing things incorrectly and making mistakes. But effort and energy and all of that is on the head coach. And that's disappointing to see, that he's going to blame it on the players and say, go ask him, not come out and saying, you know, hey, I probably should have coached these guys up better. That's on me. It's on the entire team. That's what I wanted to hear if you were a fan last night. And they did not come out and say that. And it's just the attitude that's disappointing. Along with that, I talked to a couple of people at the arena last night and all said the same thing to me. It was three people that after the Cavs win, you know, in the locker room, the team worked out together. They were all very excited, and you could feel a sense of confidence building. And my immediate reaction to that was, that doesn't sound too good. You guys are 3-3. Your best win is over a really bad Cavs team, and then not really bad, but bad for them right now. And your other wins, you blew a 20-point lead to the Lakers, and then in the other win against the Kings, you had to come back from, what was it, 19 points down, 20 points down, to come back and win against King you should have taken care of business against. None of these wins have been good for the Pelicans. There's no reason they should be buying into each other and being like, we're scary, we're going to roll over teams. They were 7.5-point favorites last night. You should have taken the money line. It was plus 235, by the way, for the Magic, if you wanted to know. You'd have done quite well for yourself. This team is not there yet, and you see why. Open shooters on the perimeter, and then just not even bothering to cover them after they've been drilling threes from deep all game. Again, none of this is a surprise. I'm going to harp on the three-point shooting some more. It's terrible. The uncontested shots numbers on the night, let's take a quick look at what it was here, because I've got them in front of me here. They shot 53 uncontested field goal attempts last night, made 54.7 of them. Again, I'm not going to look at the contested numbers. I don't really buy those because, yeah, just because there's a body around you doesn't mean they're actively trying to stop you from shooting or defending you. But the uncontested means no one's there. Not a good thing from this team. And I, again, just very, very disappointed from what you saw from this team last night. Defensively, they need to be better. We knew this was going to be the case. And this is what, and then they, again, they could have won this game last night, the Pelicans. But they played right into what the Orlando Magic wanted them to do. You know, frankly, it's only, what would we say? It's a 16-point loss. But there's six, I can find you 16 points they can come back. Take away a few of those threes because you can test them, or at least turn those threes into two by making them drive and score. At a certain point, I've talked about it on here, it's math. If you take a couple of those threes and turn them into twos, that saves you maybe 5 or 6 points right there. You can still let them score, and we'll still count them as buckets here from this hypothetical situation. But you can save some points there. So let's do another reset here, and then we'll talk about what the bad offensively was, which is certainly a lot as well. Don't forget about the Locked On NBA podcast with your host, David Locke, the head of the Locked On Podcast Network. Comes out Monday mornings now, or Monday like mid-morning, mid-afternoon, somewhere in there. And that's a great podcast just to catch up around the league on. It's once a week. He's got on a variety of great guests. So just make sure you know what's going on in the NBA. You'll hear the biggest storylines. He pulls the other hosts on to really talk about it. So you get the local angle with the biggest stories in the league on the Locked On NBA podcast. So offensively, the Pelicans put up 99 points. They had an offensive rating of 95 and some change. I forget exactly what it was here for the game, which is not good. But if you looked at them, at times the offense wasn't terrible, and they show they can still score a ton of points, and you can see the makings of a really, really good team here. Actually, look at the second quarter where they put up 40 to make this a close game and actually take a lead into the halftime before just coming completely unglued in the second half. But in the second half, they're killed with the same problems that have plagued them all season when it comes to offense: turnovers. Drew Holiday had 6 bad entry passes, bad decision making when he's running the point and trying to get people into their offensive sets and direct people in where they need to go. He needs to drive and dump. He did more of that last night at times, but the dump passes were like behind the back, tricky things. Just drive and then dump off when the defense rotates, or if they don't, score yourself. And there were one or two times when he should have just taken the layup himself, and he instead tried to give the ball to Anthony Davis, Cheick Diallo, or DeMarcus Cousins down low. Not what you want to see out of him. Bad entry passes too. Again, we've talked about this. Davis can get position and almost seal his man, but he can't get someone to give him the ball down low. That's why some of his post-up numbers are low. And Drew Holiday, again, is just unable to do this. There's also significant amount of other times where he makes a bad entry pass that somehow tip back to him or tip to another player and doesn't end up in a turnover, but still isn't a good entry pass. It just doesn't show up in the box score as bad. That takes, you know, watching the game and everything to see. But 6 turnovers for him, 6 turnovers for DeMarcus Cousins, along with 2 for 7 three-point shooting. Not good. You know, Davis came out and took over the game at times and scored 39 points to go along with 10 rebounds, and the team failed to capitalize on this. Dude gives you 40 points and you can't get the win. Not what you want. Offensively, though, again, the numbers are bad there. 6 turnovers for him, 2 turnovers for Jameer Nelson. Davis had 2 himself. Not what you want to see out of these guys. And again, that lets a team get out and run against you. The Magic play with a fast pace. They run, they shoot threes in transition, they score in transition. A lot of their points in the paint come from that. And they ended up with 12 fast break points last night, which is terrible. It's, again, not what you want to see. Scoring points off turnovers, easy things, when all of a sudden, especially when it's the backcourt guards, Drew had his pocket picked like twice. This is not what you want to see. We know what the problems are here. And all this starts to happen when the offense gets away from ball movement. And we've heard it. I thought ball movement was the DNA of this team and this franchise, according to Gentry in training camp. Yet there are significant periods of time when they get away from it on the court. And again, if you're the coach and the same problems keep coming up and they're not being fixed, is that on the players or is that on the coach? Or is it on both, which it likely is? But when does he as a coach start looking in the mirror and being like, I need to do something different and I'm not getting through to these guys? Because that's part of the problem here. You can see it on the court. They just go to isolation heavy, get the ball to Davis in the post, and then no one works to get open to be an outlet for a three-point shot or anything like that. It's the same problems we've seen over and over and over again. But like I said earlier, what's done is done. We don't want to harp on it too much, though we do want to analyze it and look at it here. And I've given you the numbers to really show how bad their defensive game plan was on Monday night. But they do have another test coming up tomorrow night against the Timberwolves, and you can rebound with this. Admit what went wrong, fix what went wrong, and don't do it again, and just be better if you're the Pelicans. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Again, thank you all for waiting for the later in the day podcast. I think it was worth it to get those uncontested numbers to really take a look at what went on last night, because it was truly, truly bad. Again, they played into the hands of the Magic and did exactly what the Magic wanted them to do defensively, leading to all of those open shots. I can't harp on this enough. Don't give me excuses on anything else about it. It was as simple as that. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Be back with you all tomorrow to talk about the Minnesota game, preview that. Probably talk about a few different things with the Pelicans, because certainly there is no shortage of anything just yet. Again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.